Arm's Length Reporting for investors who want the whole story. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Hey everyone, welcome back here to kick off the second hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report. In the second hour, we are going to focus a bit more broadly on the commodities sector. And in the second two segments, I am going to get a couple, I think, relatively important company updates. I am kicking off the second hour with Jayant Bhandari. He is well known to some of our longtime listeners. For all of our new listeners, Jayant is a financial advisor to a lot of institutional investors focused on the commodities sector. Let's start off big picture commodities here, Jayant. Recently, one thing I've noticed is that precious metals still very much trading within a range, although this week was very interesting for gold and silver. Monday, they dropped heavily and have fought their way back quite nicely throughout the week. But another area that has really got my attention is the base metals sector that just continues to grind higher. It's more under the radar, I find, because it doesn't have that volatility. But you look at copper, and copper just seems like every couple days, every couple weeks is up just a couple cents. Copper right now, $3.16. Nickel's up over $7. Again, there's been this kind of broad money just slowly trickling into base metals. Where is your attention, first and foremost, when it comes to the commodity sector?
Thanks for having me, Corey. See, the thing is that East Asia is back in shape. COVID restrictions have disappeared in East Asia. There are more flights and more passengers traveling in China today than they were a year earlier. So with opening of economies in East Asia, which have been the growth engine of the world, indeed, demand and supply of commodities have come back in shape. There has been a slight suffering of on the supply side, but also there has been a slight dislocation in demand as well of commodities. The net result has been that commodity prices, after their suffering that they faced in March and April, are back in shape and they are doing better than they were before COVID hit the world. I am fairly happy with the current commodity prices. I don't see there's necessarily a speculative upside in commodity prices, although it's always pleasant to see them going up. What I do see is that some of the commodity companies might not have kept pace with commodity prices. And if you look at the future prices of some of these commodities, they are actually higher than what they are today, which means that commodity prices are well supported into the future, at least from today's point of view. And as a result, some of these commodities mining companies should have done better than they have. And as far as gold is concerned, gold has been extremely well supported. Any good news about vaccine comes in, or any good news comes in on political basis, results into a fall in gold price by a bit, and then gold rapidly reverts back to its upper range again. So gold continues to trade around $1,900 an ounce. And I think gold will continue to be very well supported. And it's one of the commodities that I continue to be very optimistic about, because we do see COVID restrictions creating problems into the near future. The economic structure of the world will have changed when the world actually opens up. And the political situation in the US will lead to a lot of fear in the market, which means that gold and silver will be well supported into the next 1 year or so. So that's where I think, as far as buying precious metals is concerned, I think it's a good time to accumulate.
So, Jayant, you used the term supported a lot in that answer. Does that mean that you think the metals, whether it's base metals or the precious metals, they're going to be supported in terms of no more major drops, but upward movements? Does that mean that they might be a bit slower? It might still be a bit of a range-bound trade?
Well, certainly gold has a potential to go up quite a bit because of the uncertainties in the market. As far as base metals are concerned, they have done very well. And I don't necessarily think that they have a huge amount of upside left because the future prices show that it should go up a bit, but not all that much. So yes, I think commodity prices should stay range bound, but gold and silver have a possibility of going up higher, maybe reasonably higher over the next 1 year.
Now, Giant, why do you think the companies, whether they're gold companies, silver companies have actually done pretty well, but copper companies, the other base metal companies too, why do you think the attention has been more on the metal and less so on the companies?
Well, you know, this happens, this difference in how mining companies sometimes lag behind commodity companies or vice versa, create an opportunity for us. So if metal prices have gone up, and mining companies haven't necessarily performed in relationship to commodity prices, then that is actually a fabulous opportunity for investors to buy into those companies, because a quarter from now, those companies will start releasing financial reports, which will show a much better financial situation than they had a quarter earlier. So this is a great opportunity, and particularly with the smaller companies, because the mainstream media does not talk about the smaller companies, and because brokers don't necessarily talk about the smaller companies, they get forgotten. And that is where your opportunity is in terms of investing in them before the market starts to see them.
So is the focus then on production companies, either large or small, because of the fact that energy costs are still fairly low and the metals prices broadly are higher?
Oh, absolutely. And of course, you know, oil prices are so low, which means that the cost structure of these companies have improved a lot. So that adds to the profitabilities of these companies. So yes, across the spectrum, people should pay attention to companies that have failed to keep pace with commodity prices.
Can't you say that broadly about a lot of companies, though? You look at the discrepancy between even GDX and the gold price. GDX still has arguably a lot of catch-up to do last time gold was at 1900.
Well, I am, firstly, I don't follow the big mining companies very closely, Corey, but the other thing is that most of the big mining companies trade at a premium to their underlying value. So I am always worried about investing in big mining companies. And most of us are not even capable of analyzing those companies. They consume a huge amount of time to understand what's happening in those companies. So I am always worried about the big companies. I'm focused more on the medium-sized and smaller companies.
Let's talk about some of the smaller size companies then, and even medium sized companies, because especially in the precious metals sector, there is a lot of money raised over the past about 5 to 6 months. Some of those shares have come into the market, which has caused a liquidity event for some of these stocks and a broad kind of downtrend. How do you see the overall health of these companies now that they have raised all this money?
A lot of those free shares, those shares have come free trading. And if the share price has fallen because of liquidity event of free trading, it might be an opportunity for people to invest in some of those companies. And prior to our recording of the call, we were talking about a company called O3 Mining, Corey. This company raised money at $2.35 and it's now trading at $2.70 or something. And the reason this company is right now suffering is because they raised a lot of money and probably a lot of those shares have come into the market. Now, if people think that there is a value in this company, that actually might be an opportunity for them to invest in it while price might be still weak. So for me, that's actually something that creates an opportunity rather than something to worry about.
Okay, so Giant, let's continue to chat about O3 Mining, because the company has released some interesting news, some being drill results and others being a PEA on the Marban property. Now, I will be having Jose Viscada on this show to wrap up this second hour, but give us your thought on the fundamental value that was presented in that Marban PEA and the massive drill program that the company has of 150,000 meters.
Right. So O3 mining is among my top three positions. And I have invested in this company. I participated in the financing. And I have been a buyer of this company since they did the financing. The reason is that for whatever reason, the market hasn't really paid much attention to it. Whenever the share price tries to go up, the shares of Alexandria Minerals, which was a company that O3 Mining acquired, hit the market. So the share price stays range bound, which for me has been a great opportunity to accumulate this company. I think that the value is reasonably good in this company. Among the better upside within the peer group that I see. Now, Marban Project PEA was much better than I thought it was going to be, because Marban already had a PEA done, I think, about 7 or 8 years back. And based on that, this is a significant improvement. However, market has seen that as an opportunity to sell because of the liquidity event that it created. So I'm very happy about Marban Project. I think O3 Mining has made it very clear that they want to sell the Garrison project, which probably will get sold at one point of time. I think it has a good value, but it has a value for someone that can merge it, that project, with projects around that area, and then create a much bigger single entity. So I think that's where another factor that helps underpin the value of the company comes from. And the company is continuing to drill at Marban Project, where they are finding better grades than what is in the PEA. And then, of course, the area in Quebec where they are drilling is, which the areas that they acquired from Alexandria Minerals, is where they might be able to generate a significant amount of upside.
So, Giant, let's use O3 as an example to talk about a company that has a couple options balancing out potential M&A, which in all fairness, M&A has been very slow for the juniors. This last couple of weeks, we have seen a couple deals pop up, which I know has gotten some people excited, but overall, there is not a whole lot of excitement, at least right now, in M&A for the sector. But because of the deal that O3 Mining signed for this QMX mill, they have the potential of being a producer. Now, it's not going to be a producer next year, but how do you find the balance right now in the market and in what you're investing in between these smaller companies either looking for a takeover or having the potential to go into production?
Corey, it has, of course, been difficult for M&As to happen at the project kind of levels, particularly for these companies that have developed the projects reasonably towards production scenario. The problem is doing due diligence on these projects has become virtually impossible with travel restrictions around the world. You can't really go into those projects. I have had reasons to go to a couple of projects for investigative purposes, but I can't really do those traveling because of restrictions around traveling. So I think once that opens up, M&As in these kind of companies will start. Yes, I think O3 Mining is increasingly positioned to provide you an upside, but also because of the mill that they have bought an option on, creates an opportunity for them to rapidly move into production, which of course it still means a couple of years' time or longer, but that's how you create situations where you can move the company forward quickly when the time comes.
Yeah, I think that's also how you can at least remove some of the risk in these projects and companies if it is an economic resource and the company does have that path towards production. In full disclosure, I do hold O3 Mining in my portfolio. Giant, please take us through any other companies that have your attention that you would like to share with us.
One company, which again is one of my larger positions, is a company called Maritime Resources. This company did financing at 6 cents and then 15 cents. And now it's range bound between around 14 to 16 cents. And the reason is that 8 million warrants came free trading a week back. They expired a week back. And I think some of them got exercised. And the warrant exercise price was 15 cents. And next March in 2021, about 32 million warrants expire with exercise price of 15 cents. So this Maritime Resources will stay, I think, range bound between 14 and 16 cents over the next few months. But I think the upside is very nice in this company. So that is, and again, because this share price is stuck because of technical reasons, not because of fundamental reasons, I'm very happy to be buying more of this company, particularly when it falls below 15 cents. So that's one company I'm
Giant,
keen
let me
on.
Jump in here quickly. Because Maritime is focused in Newfoundland and Labrador, we've seen a whole new renewed interest in this area for exploration companies. What do you think about that broad area play?
Well, actually, this is from everyone I talk with in that area. I'm told that getting permits and doing mining is actually reasonably good. The governments and local authorities are reasonably friendly when it comes to letting you get on with your work. So that's actually another advantage that some of these companies possibly have.
But what about all these new companies and all this new staking that has come into Newfoundland?
I haven't paid much attention to it. I am well invested in a company called Anaconda Mining, and I quite like Maritime Resources. I like Maritime Resources a bit more than I like Anaconda Mining, but both of these companies, in my view, offer very good upside, particularly Maritime Resources. Now, again, I have not followed, paid much attention to the staking rush that has taken place in that area, and I usually avoid participating in feeding frenzy when I don't really understand those companies and managements are acquiring areas only because market is salivating about that area.
Yeah, fair enough. Now let's share one more company, then we'll wrap it up here, Giant.
Okay, another company. Is a company called Atico Mining. The ticker is ATY. They have two projects in Latin America. And we talked about this company a few months back, Corey. The share price has done very well since then, but I have to say that the general market has done very well. So there's nothing to congratulate myself about here. But I think this company, because copper price has done very well, will actually churn out a reasonably good amount of cash in the next quarterly that comes out. And that will be a kind of profit that should please the market, and that will put the company in a better financial situation. So I think this company probably has a very good short-term upside, but it also, in my view, has a good medium and long-term upside as well.
All right. Hey, Giant, great chatting with you. Thanks for kicking off the first two segments in the second hour. Just to bring everybody up to speed, the ticker symbol is 403 Mining is OIII. For Maritime Resources, it is MAE. And for Atico Mining, it is ATY. All these on the TSX Venture Exchange. Giant, thank you again for your time. Pleasure chatting with you. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, Corey.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the second hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report. I hope everybody enjoyed that conversation I had with Giant Bhandari. Really kicking off the second hour with a focus on, again, precious metals. In the next part of the second hour, I'm going to have a couple of company updates just because, you know what, we can talk. Well, I do talk every day about the volatility and the precious metals, but quite frankly, right now, I think it's the best time to be focusing on individual companies and those growing their stories. I'm grateful to have so many companies that I follow along with that are advancing their stories. The company that we're talking with in this segment is Vizsla Resources, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol VZLA and on the OTCQB under the symbol VIZSF. I'm chatting with the president and CEO, Mike Connert. Now, Mike, a couple news releases that came out in the last about 2 weeks. October 28th, Vizsla added a fifth drill rig to the Panuku project. And November 9th, you released some drill results from the Papayo and San Carlos targets. Six holes in each of these targets. Papayo hit some nice high-grade mineralization. San Carlos didn't have this type of high grade in it. Give us a little rundown of what these results, both at Papayo and San Carlos, mean for the company.
Certainly. So at Papayo, that drilling was done about a kilometer to the north of our initial discovery on Napoleon. And Papayo is a part of the same vein corridor. It's just another dilation zone, as I mentioned, a kilometer to the north. And so we were encouraged by multi-kilo numbers over a meter at Papayo, but we're still drilling at Papayo, and we think that there's really the potential to add meaningful ounces at that ore shoot there. So very exciting, just some preliminary numbers from there, but carrying the grade that we like to see, multiple kilos. So really, really great news out of Papayo. That Napoleon area just continues to grow. You know, we have so many targets across the district. We've decided in this news release, we announced that we are taking the rig away from San Carlos and moving it elsewhere into the district. But San Carlos was really quite interesting to us. You know, we intersected some very large veins there, 15, 20 meter veins. But they weren't running the grade that we wanted to see. So encouraging to see that, there is the potential for large veins, of course. And we do see that elsewhere on the project, even including Napoleon, where we've drilled 15 meters of true width of just about half a kilo material. So we do see these wide veins, but of course, San Carlos just didn't give us that pathway that we wanted to that 10 to 20 million ounces of silver mineralization that we needed to continue. If we had gotten perhaps to San Carlos before the modern mining, I think that ore shoot would have had that type of mineralization. But we decided to move on to some stronger targets that we have across the district.
So, Mike, let's get a little bit more color on the balance between these high-grade results that I've even gotten some comments on, and listeners saying, well, these are fairly narrow veins, all, let's say, right around a meter wide. But then you also said you have seen some wider veins, a bit lower grade. You're not getting, say, 2 kilos over 10, 15 meters. But what's the balance there and the importance of hitting some of these wider, lower grade veins as well as the narrow, high grade ones?
Well, I'm glad you asked that. But just to even speak to that hole 25 that we had on Napoleon, on our website, we put out a section so the viewer would be able to visualize what we're drilling there. But that gram meter interval is spectacular. 15 meters of vein true width, of course, at 449 grams per ton silver equivalent. I mean, that is high grade over those type of widths. It's really quite impressive. And then, of course, we've had some 2 to 3 meter veins at multiple kilos, and even some that are 3 meters at 8 kilos of silver equivalent. So, well, I would say that, if you're, between a meter and 2 meters, that's a good mining width. If you're at 3 meters, that's a great mining width. And certainly 15 meters of good grade is, that's super profitable. And, what the significance of the variances of the grade and the widths is that at Napoleon, we're actually looking at the potential of an open pit scenario there. Of course, this is early and, we need to do studies to determine the feasibility of something like this. But, the potential to have multi-kilo numbers in an open cut or an open pit scenario is certainly just speaks to the profitability of an operation in this area. So, I think the listener, should be excited to hear, these meters of 1, 2, 3 kilos of silver equivalent, but also, knowing that we, in our press releases, we do disclose and put out that we are hitting big, broad, wide veins of, a very good grade.
Okay, Mike, let's take a step back and talk about the big picture of this project then, because right now you guys still are fairly fresh, fairly new on this project. You're trying to get a handle of how many different deposits you have, how big these deposits could be, and then you also have this overhanging option payments and really option agreement that the company has. I believe it's 6 more years left to sign the option, take control of the project, and the infrastructure in the area. What is that pathway forward through resource to the signing of this option?
Certainly. So, I think for the listener, I've had a number of questions recently just asking me, how do you rank and prioritize, or if you're looking at building a resource here on Panuco, what's the pathway to that magic 50 million ounces or 30 million ounces or, even beyond that 100 million ounces of silver? And, that's a really important question to answer. And I think it's, it's something that, I think is important for us to really be clear about. But the initial step towards those resources is certainly going to be this Napoleon original discovery that I was just describing. We're actively drilling that. We've traced mineralization down past 200 meters from surface and continue to drill at depth there. And it keeps growing. That ore shoot to me and to our team is one that will be most certainly contributing ounces to the overall resource of the district and to Vizsla. Following that, I see the northern part of Napoleon, the Papayo area, as a meaningful source of potential resources there. We're very excited about that. Now, we have 2 rigs on Napoleon Corridor, and we'll continue to drill the Napoleon Corridor because I believe that will drive resources for the company. Now, we've moved the 5th rig, but we have a rig over at Tijitos, which is about, a kilometer away from the Napoleon vein corridor. We drilled a significant intercept there of multi-kilo silver. And that area, I believe, has a great shot at that, the potential resource, which is that in excess of 10 million ounces of silver, 10 to 30 million ounces of silver type ore shoot. And that's important for us to build ounces there. And then outside of the multitude of exploration targets that our team is generating across the district, the last area that I'm very excited about before we get into some of these newer targets in the new year is this Cordon del Oro area. Now, that's an area that I think offers a huge amount of upside because the veins are large there. The intersections are interesting between the main vein and splay veins. And we think that, that could be a very rewarding area for us to drill. And we're quite excited about that area.
So when it comes to these different targets, then is, say, 20 million ounces of silver, is that kind of the sweet spot that you guys are looking for? Obviously, bigger is better, but when it comes to a bottom threshold?
Yeah, I think for us, it's that 10 million ounces is the minimum of the ore shoot that we need to see to proceed on a target. But for us, that sweet spot would be 20 to 30 to 40 million ounces in an ore shoot.
Okay. And then how does that whole process, or how is that process going to work with the signing of the option agreement? Because my understanding is the next major payment that is due in 2022, and that's for about $4.5 million.
That's right. That's for the entire district. That's the next major payment that we need to make. So that's about 2 years out. We've only really been active on the project for the last, 6-7 months, really, after the COVID shutdown, and we've been able to raise $30 million, drill these discovery holes, make multiple new discoveries across the district. So we are moving at a you know, a speed that I think is quite impressive. Now, next year, I think that that you know, our progress will be amplified or accelerated, and we'll be doing even more drilling, even more discovery across the district. So we have that year, and then we have into 2022 to really get comfortable with the resources and the upside of the district. Now, you know, I could see us being you know, encouraged or confident by the resource numbers, you know, at some point in time in mid 2021. So, you know, I'm quite excited about that. And, you know, for us to have that, you know, have that comfort in the resources and the upside of the project, and then exercise those options, own the district 100%, that creates a re-rating for the company. As many people know, as many resource investors know, you know, having a resource in silver is one thing. They're already quite rare. Having a silver producer creates a situation of, you know, of high valuation. You look at a company like Endeavor, First Majestic, compared to their gold counterparts in terms of production profile and size of resource. And, you know, I think that's quite an encouraging outcome for a company like Vizsla.
So first things first, though, building out these resources, any ideas when we could see some resources come to market now that you do have five drills on the project?
Well, it's a question that I get asked a lot, and it's, you know, it's not something that we're putting a you know, a timeline on or agreeing to any type of you know, guidance on that. But I would say that we should have a good understanding of in terms of resources by the end of 2021, certainly. But you know, we do pride ourselves on the disclosure that we are giving out each press release. So I know that some investors, some groups are, you know, are playing along at home in terms of resources at that original Napoleon discovery. So, you know, I think, you know, it's kind of a continual process as we put out our drill holes into the market.
Hey, fair enough. But it sounds like we will continue to get a lot of drill results as the company does continue to drill with five drills on site. And really just understanding the big picture here, it's about building ounces and then moving forward with that whole option agreement and potentially becoming that silver producer in a relatively short period of time, considering, as you said, you guys have only been on the project for about 7 months now. Hey, Mike, great chatting with you. Thank you for the update. If anybody has any follow-up questions, please email me, fleck@kereport.com. That goes for all the future updates that I will have on this weekend show. And just in general, that's how you contact me. Hey, Mike, thanks for your time this weekend. Have a great rest of your weekend.
Thank you. Have a good one.
Alright, welcome back here to wrap up the weekend edition of the KE Report with another company update, this time from O3 Mining, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol OIII. I'm chatting with the president and CEO, Jose Viscata. Now, Jose, the company has released three different news releases all this month. So over the last 2 weeks, we've gotten some drill results. We've also had some consolidation of one of the major properties, this Malartic property, and we had an update on the overall drill program. I want to start off with the news out on November 3rd. These are the drill results from this Malartic property, more focused in this Marban deposit area. You released a couple holes that are step-out holes, more holes that are in between two different deposits already known on this project. Some of the headline numbers, 2.9 grams per ton gold, over 14 meters, pretty much at surface, and then also 2.1 grams per ton gold, over 10.5 meters. Jose, update everybody on the strategy of these holes that were drilled in between two already known deposits on the project, please.
Good afternoon, Corey. Thank you very much for having us in your program. As you well mentioned, we have right now in our Marban deposit over 2.5 million ounces with potential to increase these resources. We believe candidly that we can probably double that. Certainly, it is very important for us to increase the resources close to surface between two of the main pits that we have right now that has shown us that it extends at depth, which is Kirenz and Nolartik. And the last drill result we did along that strike was 2.9 grams per ton within 14 meters. It is also important to mention that along the same strike, along Nolartik and Kirenz, we were able to finalize the acquisition of a landmass where we only had 50%, and that has been finished last week. We were able to buy that for $150,000. Now, we will continue to explore that trend, which is this trend northwest, that it is the continuation of Nolartik and Kirenz. This trend is an extremely important trend because it's the trend of the Norbenite and Marbenite trend. And what does that mean? It is the same trend where it lies within, on one side, the Kina mine from West Dome, which has shown very nice high grade, and on the other side, on the northwest, where the Kamflo mine, which was the first mine that Barrick Gold put into production in the 1980s, and when they changed the name from Barrick Petroleum to Barrick Gold. So we are in a terrain of elephants, and it is very important to reiterate that big deposits usually happens in clusters, and I think that we are talking about an elephant area, and we're very excited to explore what we are exploring right now, and we expect to keep growing the resources that we have right now.
Hey, you mentioned the area, and this Val d'Or area that you're in has garnered a lot of attention, and I know a lot of the guests that I have on the show are following your company and some of the other companies in the area very closely. Now, you mentioned this overall Malartic property has a little over 2.5 million ounces in resources. You mentioned that you think you can double it. How do you see being able to double it when it comes to exploring on surface, but also understanding that a lot of the projects in the area have a very deep component to the resources?
You are absolutely right in your assessment. In general terms, in Val d'Or, especially in this Cadillac Lake break, we have seen deposits being managed by other corporations that extend their mineralization to 1.5 to, in some cases, like La Ronde, up to 3 kilometers. We have only explore this area up to 500 meters. We should not forget that when we bought this project, over 600,000 meters of drilling were already done in this area. We have taken almost 4 months and a half, if not five, to organize all the data, being able to reprocess the resource and come up just by redoing the resource on an increase in our resource from 1.8 million ounces to 2.5 million ounces in resources. There is vast amount of drilling done where we can now drill around them and start converting some areas that were not even assumed as inferred resources and to convert them into inferred resources. What does that mean for your audience, to whomever does not know about mining? We understand as an inferred resources for those areas where we can calculate a volume within an area of three drill holes that are separate no more than 65 meters. Then we call them inferred. If they are separated more than 65 meters, they are called nothing. So if we have a couple of holes that are 100 meters apart, by putting a couple of holes in the middle, we will be able to start converting resources to an inferred category in an expedite way.
Now, this is important to understand because you have taken some of those big step out holes, and some of the past work have shown you these large step outs, which go to show potential size and scale of the project. But as you said, they can't necessarily be included in some resource calculations. Would you say that some of the drilling that's going on now is strictly focused on tightening up these spacings to add resources in the near term?
Some of our drilling is taking care of that, but most of the drilling that we're doing right now is really showing how big this can be. I am not really concerned too much about what we can convert. I am more thinking right now on how much bigger this can be. We are drilling areas where we had a small resources with high grade, and we are paying attention right now to those areas such as Goldhawk, which is northwest again, or south from Kirenza and Nolartic, in that same trend, but just south of it. And we were able to drill Kirenza and Nolartic, and we have been extended that same drill hole going to hit Goldhawk at depth. Let's wait for results. And we are really excited to see how we can be growing this resource, not only around the pits, but also looking for a high-grade component that can increase the economics of this project in a very high way. And I want to take the opportunity as well to remember to shareholders that one thing that O3 Mining does have is fundamental value. There is many projects around Canada that has a lot of drilling, that has a very big market cap with no resources, no PEA, no economical valuation. Marban already has 600,000 meters drilled. It has a proper resource, and it has a preliminary economic assessment being done by one of the better or the best engineering firm right now in the market, like Ausenco. And we have been able to demonstrate that we have a net present value of $423 million at a 5% discount rate with an $1,850 per ounce.
Well, that PEA, really the fundamental value here, is one of the reasons why I bought shares in the company a while ago. So I am a shareholder of the company. But all this drilling commentary does tie into this November 10th news release, where you outlined that the company has now 6 drill rigs in the Val-d'Or area. 2 of those are focused at the Malartic property for a total of 45,000 meters here. This is all ongoing, and you mentioned the difference in terms of what these rigs are focused on, and that's just this Malartic property. But you also have this Alpha property where you have 100,000 meters being drilled. Give everybody an update on the drill strategy at Alpha as well.
Yeah, so again, let's reiterate. In the case of Marban, we have fundamental value. Again, we used $1,450 per ounce, which is pretty conservative. And with that, we have $423 million in terms of net present value, which is double where we are in terms of our share price. What does Alpha means is an extraordinary land package where we have more than 30,000 hectares in the area. And Alpha is really the extension of the eastern side of the Canadian Malartic mine. And we cannot forget about that part. The Canadian Malartic mine is located in the Pontiac sediments, which are the same sediments that we have at our Alpha property. We already have resources in the Alpha property. We have an area called Orenada 2, Orenada 4, and Bulldog, where we started to drill last year in the winter. It's an area where we can only drill in the winter. And that is why we're putting 100,000 meters of drilling during our winter campaign, moving from 6 drill rigs to 12 drill rigs moving towards January, in order to show the potential, the geological potential we have in this area and how big the system can be. On top of that, we were very strategic to have an option to buy a mill being done in March of this year, where we now, if we find in ore, we can have the opportunity to buy the mill of Orbel, which is a 1,400 ton per day mill, for $5 million at any time within 6 years. So we have been working very strategically to create value for shareholders and to anticipate to what we will be doing in the next couple of months. We have advanced quite a bit right now. We have done all the hard work that needed to be done, and now it's execution time. Now you're gonna see 150,000 meters going into the ground in very specific areas where we are going to be creating value for shareholders, as we believe, because we as management has also been involved in the story day by day.
One quick comment regarding that mill purchase. You and I talked about it. It's the QMX deal. You said that you're out there looking for enough resources to, well, move forward with that option to buy the mill and move into a production scenario. In your eyes, what is a big enough resource base to make this move?
You don't need more than 500,000 ounces to put that into production and make money out of it.
Okay. Now, one other comment that you made is that you guys have been supporting the stock management. I've noticed a lot of insider buying. I understand that sometimes as companies go through blackout periods, especially when you have drill core in the lab, you can't buy any shares. But take us through some of the support that you and the rest of the management team have given to the company.
Well, we certainly believe in our own company. I am a firm believer of fundamental value. I'm not trying to bring Mr. Warren Buffett into the story, but I mean, he taught everyone that you got to believe in fundamental value. And when fundamental value is there and you're paying less than what the company is really worth, you will make money out of that. And this is the case of this company. The company is worth half of what the fundamental value involves, and you're not taking into account anything like Garrison, where we already have 2 million ounces, neither like Alpha, where I believe we can have a multi-million ounce deposit. So for obvious reasons, personally, we have been buying stock in the market every single day when we have not been in a blackout, which shows how much we believe in our own story.
And you have to consider this fully funded drill program, large drill program that is underway. Jose, we're running out of time on this segment, but just wrap us up with the overall takeaway that you want investors to focus on as we progress through the rest of this year and undoubtedly a lot of news that's going to hit the market.
I think our story is very simple, Corey. We have right now a deposit such as Marban within the Malartic property, where we have 2.5 million ounces right now with a net present value of $423 million, which is double what our share price is right now. And we have the opportunity to expand the resources from where we are to potentially double that by doing drilling. I'm not saying that we have it. I'm saying that we're working towards that. And I think our investors has an extraordinary opportunity because you're buying this for Marban, and you're getting Alpha for free and Garrison for free, which at this point is it's an excellent opportunity for investment.
All right, Jose, we have to wrap it up here. That is the end of this weekend's two-hour show focused on the markets and back on the metal sector. Everybody, thank you for tuning in throughout the week as I release daily editorials trying to make sense of the daily moves in the market. And thank you all for continuing to send me your emails, Fleck@kereport.com. As I mentioned, I am a shareholder of O3 Mining. We will continue to follow along with this story. Jose, thank you for your time this weekend, and everybody have a great rest of your weekend.
Thank you, Corey. Have a great day.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.